Hello, welcome to the Friday, January 16th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got two good reminders today about issues we commonly do see these days. First, from Manuel, attacks against WordPress. In this case, it looks like it is a more or less standard brute force attack against WordPress using simple usernames and password. In addition, the attacker went through the trouble to actually claim to be Googlebot, according to the user agent. That's sometimes used to bypass rate limits and the like. On the other hand, if you really want to make sure that an IP address belongs to Google, then do a reverse lookup on it. It should come back with a Google host name. And then don't forget to do a forward lookup as well to make sure that you arrive at the same IP address with which you started out with. And then secondly, NoSQL databases. One common problem with these databases is that they don't have a lot of access controls built into the database. And in this case, we do see a lot of scans against Redis, which is one of these NoSQL databases. It does not provide any access controls, so you have to be really careful how you expose it to the network. Similar issues, of course, can also show up with Memcache and similar NoSQL databases or data storage systems. Mobile security company Adaptive Mobile wrote an interesting post about how spam migrates from SMS to WhatsApp. And what they actually saw is that it's really a very direct correlation between a decrease in SMS spam and an increase in WhatsApp spam. Now, the way they measure that is, first of all, with some numbers from mobile operators who do measure SMS spam, but also some more indirect measures, like, for example, Google searches. The number of Google searches for SMS spam essentially linearly decreasing over the last 4 years, while at the same time, the searches for WhatsApp spam are increasing and are now getting close to the number of searches for SMS spam. Overall, I think no big surprise here. Spammers will always follow the users. If there are new ways to exchange messages, then there will be spammers trying to inject their spam messages into these channels. And advertisers start taking more and more advantage of the little user identifying header that Verizon started injecting into mobile web browsing traffic. Now, you do have an option with Verizon to opt out of this system, but this actually does not remove the header. The only thing that you're removing if you're opting out of the system is that if an advertiser uses Verizon's service to get more details about you, that query will not work. On the other hand, other advertising networks now are tracking these headers similar to how they would track a cookie and are then compiling profiles about users as they're visiting different pages and are exposed to these advertisements. So overall, with these advertiser systems, they can now assemble a profile of the user similar to what they would have gotten from Verizon, but Verizon's opt-out system no longer is effective in blocking this kind of data collection. The only way to block this XUIDH header is to use SSL or some other way to encrypt your traffic while it traverses the Verizon network. And then Dane is a protocol that I've mentioned before in the podcast. It's sort of an emerging technology to make it easier to validate SSL keys. The idea is that in addition to using SSL certificates that are signed by a proper certificate authority, you also enable the user to check that this is a valid certificate using DNS. Now, initially, this doesn't sound like such a great idea because DNS DNS is not a very well-secured protocol? Well, the way Dane addresses this is by requiring DNSSEC. Essentially, what you're doing with Dane is that you're depositing a hash of your certificate in DNS and then serve it via DNSSEC. So with this, a user or a client that connects to one of your services can verify whether or not the certificate that was retrieved from the server is authentic beyond the assurance that they get from the certificate authority, because in the past we have seen how certificate authorities can get compromised. Pretty interesting, somewhat new and not fully implemented yet. For example, if you're having GoDaddy, you can't easily set up the required records. But there is now a new validation service to help you implement Dane. Because one of the problems, of course, is that if you implement it badly, you end up with a denial of service against your site. I will add the validation services URL to our show notes, and of course the service is free. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.